Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Fightful.com. It's your TNA Impact post show for August. It's October. I'm done. I've been up since 5:30. It's game over, man. October 24, 2024. I am Agile Pearl, and as always, the lovable, lovely, fantastic Krista Stard is with me. Hello.
What up, everyone? It's time to talk TNA, tussle, and I was going to say ass, but then I got assault, and it just kept getting worse.
Well, once in a while.
I mean, people do be dying on TNA.
You know, I've been told, and I'm really good at this show because I help people fall asleep, and I hope that's just because of my voice and not because of the content. If you want my upbeat voice, you can go get that on In the Weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbooked, 10 a.m. Eastern until God knows when. Once Jeremy and I feel like we need to tap out. Usually it's in the 2 to 2.5 hour mark. Anyway, Krista, how are you doing? Are you ready for Bound for Glory? It's this Saturday. We got a post show. It's going to be you, me, Steven Jensen after the show on Saturday night. But how are you feeling otherwise?
I'm feeling very melancholy because wrestling, I'm trying to get back into things. I feel so lost about stuff because I took time off, as you guys know. So I'm still like, I'm sports confused. But overall, I'm super excited for Bound for Glory because I am a huge Joe Hendry fan. And honestly, tonight's show, there were things I didn't think I would like and the things I thought I would like. I'd be like, next program. Hey, well, you said 60 seconds. And it's 61 seconds exactly.
There were some things tonight that I definitely was ready to move past, but it's a go-home show. So here we are. But we're back, and we're going to get through this show, and so are you. And, of course, our friends at FightfulSelect.com are going to help you get all the scoops ahead of Bound for Glory, Halloween Havoc scoops, because NXT is running a show on Sunday as well. AEW Shockwave updates are there. And if you want some WWE music updates, that's right up my alley as a musician myself. If you want to know more about what all that's about with Def Rebel and with this new job posting that everyone's talking about. No, you're not going to become the next music writer for WWE, but go check out all of our reporting, including a TLDR over on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Ask Grabcity as well as today, so you can go and check that out. Let's get right into Impact. I know last week we did things a little differently, but today we're just going to go segment by segment, baby.
I'm with it, baby.
It bookends anyway, because Frankie Kazarian started your night. Frankie Kazarian ended your night, for better or for worse. Let's open up with the Call Your Shot Gauntlet six-way match. The winner of the match was going to enter the Call Your Shot Gauntlet at number 20. The one who was pinned enters number one. AJ Francis defeats He defeats Frankie Kazarian, Jake Something, Jason Hotch, Laredo Kid, and Sammy Callahan. AJ Francis will enter number 20. Frankie Kazarian will enter number one in Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Francis pins Kazarian. And all I came out of this thinking was, I really want to see Jake Something versus AJ Francis.
I was also thinking, where the hell has Sammy Callahan been? Did I miss something?
No. If you read our reports over on FightfulSelect.com, you'll know that he is currently working backstage at TNA Wrestling.
That's what I get for not being subscribed to this. Fightful
Select. You know you can invoice your subscription, right?
I do. I just don't read it.
Lady, once a night.
Yo, guys, I'm a fraud. I've never seen wrestling a day in my life.
You're just giving your thoughts off the vibes?
Off the vibes. I thought this was Sesame Street.
I've been looking for a pair of Sesame Street pajamas for my toddler, so I get it.
Like, why is Elmo so mean to Big Bird? I don't understand. Why does Big Bird have a headgear on?
It's Elmo and the Rock, man. No, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about the Rock. I'm talking about Rocko.
The Pet Rock. I'm sick of him. Pet Rock.
I'm not the Pet Rock.
Oh, man. Okay. Jokes aside, AJ Francis, this guy, every time I'll be like, I'm sick of him, I don't mean it because I'm really sick of him. Because, like, the way he stole that pin off of Scammy Callahan with the Cactus Driver in 97 was just like, if you don't get out of here. Now, mind you, AJ Francis was getting ganged up on all match. Because when he wasn't getting ganged up on, he was like, let them fight. And then trying to sneak a win. I love it. This is where my opinion started to form about our predictions about what's going to happen at Bound for Glory. AJ steals the pin, and I'm thinking, all of this talk we've been talking about, how AJ's saying, oh, I put on Joe Hendry. If it wasn't for Joe Hendry, it'd be me. You win the call, your shot. You saying what you're going to do. I could see it. I could see it. And that's Joe Hendry's first feud getting into the title scene. But like you said, after all of this, I just kind of want to see Jake something versus AJ Francis, because that's me, and you know I want gout.
Wait. I figured you'd like that.
I don't want gout, but meat, meat, meat.
I will say this. I really enjoyed the match from a put-together standpoint. They did the one thing. They stayed away from the one thing that I despise in a six-man match, and that is the every participant does their finisher to eliminate the last competitor to run into the finish. They didn't do that. They didn't have, you know, Hotch does one thing and then Laredo Kid takes him out and then Sammy takes out Laredo Kid and then Frankie gets, you know, they kept it to the momentum in the ring is where it went. And then you had AJ Francis steal the pin. I don't think Francis is winning the Call Your Shot gauntlet now that he's entering number 20. He's going to probably cocky his way to the end of it. But it's going to definitely come down to Frankie and AJ and two other people who are probably going to surprise us or not, who knows. But regardless, it was a good match, solid match, and Sammy Callahan still exists. So you're happy now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not mad at it, because I like the idea that, yeah, okay, AJ not going to win, but could he though? And like, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I do think that if Sammy Callahan finds a way to get into that match at somehow, oh, you have to pay for your crimes, AJ. You have to pay for your crimes.
This is the one thing that I'll also put over about the way that they put this match together. The two people that are at the front of the Call Your Shot gauntlet, at the head of, like, everyone's thinking about these two people. It's AJ Francis and it's Frankie Kazarian. Kazarian's the special guest referee in the main event, so you think he's going to get involved with that. AJ Francis and Joe Hendry have a long history of hatred towards each other. They had a long feud that lasted the beginning of 2024 throughout the year. If AJ Francis wins, he goes right after Joe Hendry. And AJ Francis has been saying this whole time, I made Joe Hendry. This is in media and on TV. I made Joe Hendry. I deserve it. And Joe Hendry winning works for me because I get to go after the guy that I made. So they're doing a good job of at least making you think that either Frankie or AJ are the guys, but there might just be a red herring. At that point, I'm interested. Jordynne Grace won the Call Your Shot gauntlet last year and then called her shot against Trinity for the Knockouts Championship. You could do something like that again this year if you want and have somebody win on the Knockout side and then eventually challenge for the Knockouts Championship. I had posited on True Heel Heat that maybe you do that with someone like Killer Kelly, because she's coming up a lot lately when Masha Slamovich is doing interviews. She says she likes Killer Kelly a lot and would like to face her. If Masha wins the Knockouts Championship, Killer Kelly wins the Call Your Shot gauntlet. That's a bit of a shock. I'd like to see that. It's different.
I want to just piggyback on what you said about how there's a lot of moving parts and the flow of the match. I want to commend each wrestler, even in this match. Everybody played their part. All these moving parts work because everyone is so believable in their part. Like, do I think AJ will beat a Joe Hendry? No, but I think he could snake his way to the win. But also there's Frankie Kazarian who could snake his way to the win. And like you said, that's not including anyone else who might show up. Or I'm trying to think who's been away for a minute, who might be a nice surprise entrant. Someone who's like, well, I'm sick of AJ Francis, or I'm sick of the guys that we would think could be in the end. I'd see Frankie Kazarian getting out kind of early or making it to where, like, he's not the first out, but he's not going to stay late because he does have to ref later on. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying that everyone played their part. I can't wait to see what happens next. And AJ France has got a lot of crimes to pay for in that Call Your Shot gauntlet. He's such a good heel that you got a lot of enemies.
I'm assuming you're going to see some NXT talent. I'm assuming it's going to be mostly the women. Whoever is not involved in anything right now, or at least needed for Halloween Havoc, because that is it's the next night in Hershey. So they're probably, if anything, just going to send a few people over to Detroit for Bound for Glory. Definitely on the women's side. We already know Brinley Reese is going to be on the card. That was announced on the countdown. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, I can see there will be some NXT talent on the Call Your Shot gauntlet, at least as far as I can tell. Yeah, I don't know. The Kiss Demon is always my number one person that they throw out there.
Shark Boy. Shell, yeah.
Shell, yeah. Let's go. Anyway, Gia Miller's backstage with Jonathan Gresham. And really, the whole point of this was Gresham calling this the start of his comeback. Meanwhile, over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, we did report that Jonathan Gresham's contract is over at the end of this year, along with Jordan Grace's. So maybe the comeback is, who knows? Who knows? But Gresham, looking forward to his match tonight against Josh Alexander. We'll talk about that in a minute. Any thoughts on the promo?
Not really, because all I have is a literal Jay-Z line that says grand opening, grand closing, because Alexander's going to cheat you out your boots.
And let it be written, so let it be done. Santana promo. I loved these video packages for Mike Santana. I say, listen, a lot of people are praising Mike Santana. I'm going to be one of those people. Not only is he doing fantastic work in and out of TNA, in the indies, everywhere he goes, but this is just a good, solid, baby-faced video package. He's a dude on a mission who wants to do better than the way he was brought up. And I'm all about it. I thought it was well shot. Thought it was well put together. I thought he looked good. He looks like $1 million. He looks like a badass. And every time I see him, he just presents so well. I can see him, you know, in a hotel lobby, and he looks the same as you would see him cutting a promo in the ring. It's actually amazing how good Santana is at this.
I'll also say, out of the video packages that they've done for him, he knows how to convey some. Like, every time I watch, I feel a little choked up. Like, my only complaint, and why y'all making New York City sound like Gotham? I hate that. Like, I know it's bad out here, but hey, yo, y'all making it sound like the Penguin about to get us. That's just a joke and a minor complaint, but bro, everything else about this Santana promo is so, the shots of New York City, the bridges in the background, standing on a roof, I don't know. That is just so, that's a very New York thing to be like, I'm just going to sit up here and talk. I don't care. Fucking Davis. Like, I love it. I think Santana is fantastic at these. Really, really well done. And good on TNA for editing that well as well.
Well, the guy who's been editing it is also someone who has done work with AEW, has done stuff with AAA, with WBD. Like, this is a freelancer that they've been working with for a little while. Shout him out. Honestly, I can't remember his stuff.
I mean, the way he shoots it, he really shouldn't be freelance. Like, what would we do in TNA? Book this there. Pay him.
Oh, that's usually, listen, when you're out there shooting stuff, it's, you're often doing it for the love of the game, and then you get paid pretty well out of that stuff. Seeing if I can find it, but I can't. Anyway. Oh, it's Robert Peak is the guy who did the filming for it. He's a producer on the DP, and he edited this. So he's done stuff with WWE, AEW, TNA, AAA, WBD. Like, he's been out there. He's doing good stuff.
It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, let's talk about the launch party by Elegance. Speaking of stuff we clearly loved, right?
Bro, I actually like this.
This wasn't bad. This is cornball. This is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yes, yes.
Heather Reckless is a sparkling diamond. Iceman comes out, introduces Heather Reckless. He then escorts her down to the front of the ring, where there's some champagne and some punch set up. And she's now Heather by Elegance. And the crowd is chanting, basic white girl.
Yo, they were vicious for that. That's criminal.
Fantastic. And it took me a minute. It took me a second to hear. I had to go back and be like, what are they chant? Basic white girl. Let's go. Speaking of basic white girls, Zaya Brookside comes out. And then Brinley Reese also comes out. And Zaya Brookside and Brinley Reese put both women's faces in the punch bowl. They freak out, do the elegances because their makeup is running, even though it's not, because they're wearing liquid makeup for TV. Anyway, your thoughts on this, because I enjoyed it. It was silly. It was fun.
I actually enjoyed this. And hear me out. Maybe I got my conspiracy theory hat on. As for elegance, first of all, that dress, beautiful, fantastic. That was really, really pretty. But also, one of the things we have complained about, and I feel like everyone's been saying, is that Iceman is super over. Iceman is super over. And now you guys are playing it on the nose. I kind of low-key like this Brock Lesnar treatment. Like, okay, I'm over. Might as well use me and just have him talk. Her just yelling in the background, yapping, just kind of did it for me. This crowd was vicious tonight. The basic white girl chants had me in tears. I get Zaya was out there to talk up Brinley Reese, but it was kind of a nothing sandwich. I don't know. I just feel like y'all just should have jumped them from behind. You know what I mean? It was a more effective way to do that. Besides that, I laughed.
Yeah, I get it. I kind of watched Brinley Reese do the drop kick from the in the ring to the out of the ring. Mm. And then, of course, the elegances stop themselves from going into the punch bowl. It's like, it's the traditional, not going to get me. And then, of course, the baby faces then get the heels and they get their comeuppance and they do the spot anyway. It's a cute little bump. Like, it's funny. And then, of course, they announced that there's going to be a tag team match between those four women and the countdown show for Bound for Glory. That show starts at 6:45 p.m. Eastern. So get ready for that. It's going to be the two matches as of right now and the two TNA Hall of Fame introductions, Bob Ryder and Rhino. So I'm guessing they're not going to go much later than that because the show itself starts at 8 o'clock and there's enough to do throughout that time frame between those four segments. So either way, nice little thing. Looking forward to that. Shall we talk about the next match?
Yes, God, let's go.
Josh Alexander defeats Jonathan Gresham. An excellent match. A lot of back and forth. But of course, Josh Alexander's a bad guy now, so he's got to cheat to win. We got Sinner and Saint getting involved. They get laid out by Jonathan Gresham for the rest of the match. Josh tosses his headgear to referee Daniel Spencer because he gets mesmerized by shiny things. He can't help himself. And as he... Someone's going to get so upset with me for this. Alexander grabs something out of... Josh Alexander grabs something out of his knee pad while the distraction's going on, knocks out Jonathan Gresham, C4 spike, gets the pinfall. Really the big thing here, other than the great match that this was, and we'll talk about it. Actually, let's talk about the match. Then we can do all the post-match shenanigans. Give me your thoughts on Gresham versus Alexander.
This was high-key mock match of the night. This match was superb. This match is exactly what I thought a Jonathan Gresham and Josh Alexander match would be. I have like two columns worth of notes. Like, that's how good this match was. It was paced well enough where I could write and watch, so that's a plus on my hand. But also, we knew Josh Alexander was going to cheat. The arm twists were, even after monkey flip, Josh Alexander wouldn't let go. I don't know. That's art to me. Maybe I'm weird, but that's art to me. That was so fantastically done. The octopus stretch in the towards the final third of the match was, it's just so beautiful to see because of how tall, the juxtaposition of how tall to the David and Goliath with Gresham and Alexander. Bro, like, this match was art. Like, I enjoyed it up until the finish. I knew it was going to happen, so I wanted to be delusional. But this was graps. The dives where you kept pushing Alexander up the ramp into the fifth dive where you're like, nah, I'm not going to get baited into that moonsault. What a good match.
I was tipped off that this was a very good match, and it was. I'm glad that those two got a chance to lock up, because I know that's something that you and I have been talking about happening for a while, and it hadn't happened yet. So
Didn't they say this is their first time?
This was their first time in the singles competition in TNA. So I'm looking forward to watching that progress more. They got the rest of the year to tell that story. If they want to go back to it, they should. Because again, Gresham got screwed not once but twice, because there was the interaction with Sinner and Saint, and then there was the whatever was in Josh Alexander's knee pad that got Gresham knocked out, and he suffered the L out of that. So I'd like to see the match up again. Post match may make that happen. Steve Macklin comes out. He's got a chair. Sinner and Saint take him down. Josh Alexander grabs that chair, lays out Steve Macklin. They run into a little bit of trouble here. They go to zip tie Macklin's hands. Then they were supposed to zip tie him, I guess, to the ropes, but they did it in a way where they didn't actually get one arm around the rope. Basically, I think the idea here was that Macklin was supposed to be around the ropes and not able to get out, but they didn't set it up that way, so he had to play it up. And at one point, Macklin gets up, and you ever see that? There's one episode of The Simpsons where he's doing a reenactment of someone who's supposed to be in a wheelchair, And he gets up and he says his lines, and then someone says, "Psst, you're supposed to be in a wheelchair." And Krusty's like, "Oh, my mistake." And then he sits back down. That's what Macklin did at one point. He like got up off the ropes and then got back down on the ropes. Whatever. They did their best. They had Josh Alexander taking swings. He eventually was going to lay him out with the chair, but instead Macklin kind of fights his way out of it. And then the team producer come out to make the save. That's Diener Callahan and Ace Steele. And then they get Northern Armory to leave.
I have to tell you, I'm back on my Steve Macklin sympathizer trade because I felt so bad for him in this moment. Like, honestly, I'd be giving Steve Macklin a business. But tonight, Steve Macklin reminded me of that guy who's trying to turn his life around, trying to give up the life of crime, and these guys just keep doing him wrong, bro. Like, I respect him coming out, trying to make the save because y'all were wilding, but this is twice you guys have zip-tied him. The memery in the ropes aside, y'all are wild. Josh Alexander, this is not who you are. That's not nice. But I also live for this whole segment. I think this is fantastic. Macklin is so sympathetic. God damn it, he got me, gal.
He looks good. He's good doing this baby face routine.
Yeah, and I would never think because he's such a good heel. You know what I mean? But Alexander is such a jerk where you're like, dang, I can't root for the bigger jerk. Like,
so it's amazing going into this match. The two men have been feuding for so long, but this is the second time they are ever in a singles match, which is wild. So Josh Alexander got the first win over Macklin. This could be I know we said on our, you know, on the crossover with Bet Online, by the way, go check them out and get your picks in for Bound for Glory. We gave the odds earlier before the show actually started. But while we were still live during the crossover with Ring of Honor. Anyway, point is we gave our thoughts that Macklin could lose to Josh Alexander, given the way that tonight went and the fact that Josh Alexander isn't exactly winning big time matches lately since his heel turn. This could be the beginning of that. But at the same time, Macklin gets the win. We necessitate a third match in their actual long-term, you know, feud that's only had one match so far. This is number two at Bound for Glory. We could see Macklin get the win, but I kind of want to see Josh Alexander cheat his way to win.
I was sports pleased. I like where this story is going. I'm very sports entertained. I know that at Bound for Glory, this match is going to slap.
It's going to be very good. Looking forward to that. Team producer is what I want to see next.
Stop. Because I don't forget people's names. I was a little Googled. I saw Ace. I'm like, wait, when'd you? You know what? I don't even know. I took some time off.
Listen, it's just like it's team producers. Cody Diener works backstage. Sammy Callahan works backstage. Ace Steele. They're all producers. They all get in the ring and they're just like, oh, Northern Armory, get out of here. And they're just like, oh, okay. We should probably
beat it. Scram.
Scram. Oh, you just need Tommy Dreamer to really hit it home.
That's the dad. That's when your dad comes. I was like, these are the unks.
Okay, Dad'll come to the 2300 arena for NXT in a couple weeks. Wendy Chu defeats Jody Threat. Speaking of NXT, Rosemary this is so stupid. Oh, God bless. Rosemary throws the body pillow into the ring to distract the ref because we've been distracting the ref all night. And then Rosemary decks Threat. Chu hits a Uranagi, gets the win over Jody Threat. Dani Luna was not at the taping, so she's not in the segment. They say that she's dealing with personal issues, and they say that we hope her well. Hope she's well, blah, blah, blah. But Wendy Chu does get the win over Jody Threat. Spitfire versus Chumari on Saturday. This is just to get you a little bit closer to thinking maybe Spitfire is going to lose. What do you think of the match?
This, unfortunately, was one of the matches where I was kind of like, next segment, come on. And that's not because of anything. It was more because of the finish. Because once the finish happened, I was like, oh, don't. Now that you've done me like this, now you need to hurry up. I do like Rosemary and Wendy Chu together. Something about Rosemary, Wendy Chu reminds me of Rosemary with the pop-up sit-ups. It's just right. It feels correct. I like these two together. I was saying, sadly, this is low-key a 2v1. It's a stiff match, but that ending, just pin someone clean at that point. You've already been cheating. The pillow
didn't have anything in it.
I was upset. Not even a Danhausen. Not even a Danhausen in the pillow.
Just was what it was. The system promo. JDC says he's going to be in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, and the rest of them call out their Bound for Glory opponents. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
all I have is Moose saying, "We are not the same because you're still in the street." I'm like, that's so mean. What the hell, bro? Like, Moose, I don't know. I found that comical. I was like, what the hell, bro? That's so mean.
Moose knows a lot. Promos are not his stand. It's not his best.
It's one of those things. Is it unironically funny or whatever it is? It's just the way he delivered it. I was like, like, Moose, please.
It was something that existed.
I was still sports entertained.
Sure, that's fair. Hard ABC, defeat the system. They're hard A, so Hardy, hard ABC. I wanted to call them Hardy BC.
All right.
So I wanted to call them Hardy BC, but then that didn't really work so much. So the hard ABC.
Now you just cooked me for being sports entertained by the streets. Continue. I'll let you rock, Joel.
I don't have much to say. This match went on way too long for me. I get it. You're going, it's your go home. You want to give a little bit of a preview because these people are all involved in the Bound for Glory card. You got the Hardys, you got ABC, you got the system involved. You got Moose, who's going to have a match. JDC is going to be in call your shot. Everything makes sense as to why you're doing it. It's like when AEW runs like the all-star 10-man tag on a collision going into a big pay-per-view. Like, you know why it's happening, but there's no stakes to it. So personally, I'm not super invested. Commentary did compare the system to Immortal and main event Mafia, which I appreciated because, of course, I love TNA lore, and Jeff Hardy was a member of Immortal, so that's always nice to see. But at the end of the day, Jeff Hardy gets the win. Sorry, Art of the Fold on JDC gets the win. I had Jeff Hardy in my notes above me. The Art of the Fold gets the win. And yeah, it doesn't really matter because the post-match is what matters. The system attack everybody. Santana makes the save with his chain and then gets beat down afterwards. Moose attacks Santana. Lish distracts. So that's how Moose gets the upper hand. System stand tall. So clearly they're going to be big ol' losers by Bound for Glory. Your thoughts on everything?
I do agree with you that this match... I felt like some, I don't know. It just wasn't for me. The match itself was good. I guess my complaint is that it did stay a little bit longer than it needed to. I got what we were trying to do. That's it. I have notes like Liz cheated, you know, and you know, I don't know.
Pretty standard 8-man baby faces and heel tag team match.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be too hard. I just feel like there was nothing that furthered the story in it. And it's like, yeah, they beat them up at the end, but it's kind of like everyone just going to let the system rock. I understand why nobody involved themselves is the day, like the week before Bound for Glory to go home. But I don't know. I enjoyed myself.
Sure. I still think that this Moose and Santana match should have been some sort of dog collar chain match. Still could be, not at Bound for Glory. It'll probably be a more than one time matchup. But
I agree with that.
You're not going to invoke a chain so often and then not eventually have a match around it. It has to happen.
No, I totally agree with that. And not but for Bound for Glory, but I think when Moose eventually does cheat against Santana and that chain gets introduced again, Santino's going to make the call at, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter because Santino's just a big old loser bitch because there's a double contract signing for the main event tonight. And I'm not speaking out of turn here.
If you watch the show, you would know what we're talking about.
Santino's presiding because that's what you want for your super serious co-main event on your biggest annual show is some comedic relief. That was not great. And they give all four members of this main event segment and the double out of the triple main event. They give them all time for their entrances and everything. They're all looking great. Everyone looks fantastic. Shout out to Nick Nemeth wearing an Iron Maiden shirt, kissing an old lady in the front. Was that his mother? I don't know.
And then, I was surprised when they showed her. I was like, come on, grandma. Come on, Nick Nemeth.
Not sure if that was his grandmother, not his mother. I don't know how old. Whatever. Point is, I don't know who that was. And commentary didn't mention it, so I don't know if that really mattered. It just may have been, hey, look at our white meat baby face champion who's kissing babies and hugging grandmas in the audience and wants to take them home later. So it's fine. he steals the show and your girl. That's Nick Nemeth.
That's literally his gimmick.
That's his gimmick. He is not ageist. Nick Nemeth is not ageist. He is Mr. Steal Your Girl. And even if that girl is wintertime, it doesn't matter.
He loves them no matter. Know what? Continue.
The living embodiment of love is Nick Nemeth. Anyway, Santino says,
this is off the rails.
Don't worry, this whole segment went off the rails for us. Sorry, we're okay. Santino Morella says, does anyone want to say anything? And then Masha Slamovich grabs the microphone, and if this was scripted, someone deserves to get fired, because she says, quote, I've already said everything there is to be said, at which point I say, then why did you pick up the microphone, and why did you do it first?
When you sent me that, I laughed, and then I literally sent back to him, dominance, because that's all I had. I had to make a point.
And then, listen, all parties talk, and all parties say why they're going to win, and all parties say that they deserve to win, and all parties make reference to why they should win, why their opponents need to lose, why it's their time, so on and so forth. It's fine. I do appreciate that when they get – so the knockouts sign the championship, the contract. So Masha Slamovic signs hers, and Jordan Grace signs hers, and then Santino's given the thing, and he, like, goes and he checks to make sure everything's signed, and he's a notary public – whatever. And then Joe Henry gets the mic, and he makes an allusion to the first appearance he ever had in WWE. And I'm 99% sure you haven't seen this, Cresta. So can I
show you? Oh, I actually have, where he blows the lawyer. I've seen the
– You've seen this.
Oh, he's so handsome. I mean, I'm being professional. Yes, I have seen this. I have seen that making the rounds on the internet.
Yes. So the Russian Joe Henry, not a farce. He said, I can do a Russian accent. He couldn't, but he went and did it anyway. He was the lawyer during your Lana and Rusev segment in 2014 when Rusev was given the Russian Medal of Honor, Freedom, whatever it was. Anyway, everyone else gets to speak, and then Santino gets super excited because this all went off without a hitch. So obviously it doesn't, because Frankie Kazarian comes out. I don't know if you watched the TNA press pass today where they did a press conference before Bound for Glory.
I saw one clip, but Frankie Kazarian ends up alluding to that clip about Earl Hebner's School of
Refereeing. Yes, he does. Frankie Kazarian uses the clip again where he says, I went to the Hebner School of Refereeing. It was a six-week course. But didn't we just babyface and absolve the referee Hebner for his screw job? What are we doing?
Frankie Kazarian, on the one hand, I want to hate this, but on the other hand, this is brilliant. You are so dumb. You are such a heel that the guy we just said, he made it right, that you're like, yeah, did he? Honestly, Frankie Kazarian, I love and I hate this character because he's really working my nerves, and that's what it's supposed to do. You didn't need to come out there calling this man Nikolai. Oh, no, I think he pointed at Masha saying that.
Yeah, I called her Nikolai.
Oh, yo, Frankie Kazarian is the best worst right now. He can kind of low-key is this kick in TNA because, like, you're like, I don't feel bad for you when you got the word. You got the ball worm right in the mouth. I didn't feel bad for you.
Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky, please, please come and form a tag team with your friend. Get him out of the main event scene. Put him in the tag team scene. I saw you guys work recently on the West Coast. Scorp, if you're listening, come on home, baby. And by home, I mean, like, come to TNA because you've never really been there. Go to TNA. Work with Cass.
Come get your friend. Yeah, he's one of my friends because I play TNA because I try to educate the children that there's other stuff. Please watch this with me. It's fucking fantastic. Ooh, it's fantastic. Why one of my friends said, why is this man dressed like a spy kid? And I lost it.
It's an accurate depiction of fact.
I mean, it's great. I think if you can get that visual, that is exactly who he is. He is the worst best, and he is the perfect person to make our main event at Bound for Glory super dubious because you don't know which way he's going to go, and there's already too many moving parts. He's playing his part. I will give him that. This is great. I love it, and I hate it. It's so good. It's so good. It's so bad that it's good.
So speaking of things that I hated, this is the part that really sent me over the edge. And if you saw the crossover, then you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, well, here we go. Kazarian says to get the referee's position at Bound for Glory, he went over Santino Morella's head. He went straight to Anthem, and the Anthem executives allowed it because, quote, he has tenure and Santino doesn't. Why is an active competitor who is not a staff and has never been considered staff on TNA considered to have tenure when the active competitors in TNA are considered to be contracted independent wrestlers? What are we doing here? What is?
I think you are asking too many questions, Joel.
But I'm not. Of all, like, I just want something to make sense. And don't tell me he's got a Hall of Fame wife. His Hall of Fame wife doesn't work for the company either. So none of this really matters. The point of the matter is that he went to the executives and said, "Give me this," and the TNA, not even the TNA, he said the Anthem executives said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" Like, who's dumb here? Because everyone looks dumb, is what it is. Because this is not good storytelling, is what I'm getting to. I know it's I know you said you asked too many questions, but my question is, my pushback is, why would they say that it's okay? Like, what, you could have done literally anything. You could have made it a nebulous, "I went to someone above your head," and not said the Anthem executives. You could have said someone else made me the person. You could have had him win a match to become that guy. I don't know what it was, but the way that they just explained it made absolutely little to no sense, unless you're about to tell me that JBL is an Anthem executive, and that's what we're going back to, is JBL is on the Anthem executive, and he's the one who made him the referee, at which point, still no sense.
Okay, when you break it down like that, I will give you that. It doesn't make sense in that regard. Like,
sorry,
how can you just go over?
This is a very good point. That means Eric Young should have the exact same pull. Eric Young should be able to put himself into that world title match. There are no politics, because Eric Young absolutely is above Frankie Kazarian. And there's no reason why Frankie should be able to have any sort of pull, because he got nothing. He left. It doesn't work for me.
Technically, by that same logic too, so could Rhino and PCO. I get what you're saying from a storyline standpoint, that it doesn't make sense. It does. Like, who did you speak to then? Like, who's over Santino? Does Santino not know what's going on? Do you not trust Santino to make these decisions? I don't know. In that situation, yes, that does make sense. Like, yeah, it does make someone look silly, and it kind of boils down to Santino looking silly. I don't think it's his fault or the intention to make him look silly, but I didn't see it. Was there an arc where JBL was on the Anthem board that I missed in TNA history?
No, never been a thing. I'm just saying, and it's the only way you can ever explain anything, because JBL is somewhere nebulously involved because he's tied to Nick Nemeth.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know, you got me there, gal. I rarely have nothing to say, but when you phrase it that way, because I was thinking like, oh, he's just being a jerk. He just spoke to somebody. But like, nah, it doesn't make sense, because then somebody doesn't know what's going on. I'm like, nah, Joel's right. Joe's right.
He doubles down in an even stupider way because he says to Santino, it doesn't matter about for glory because I am the law. And he flips up the Santino's badge. I'm like, well, no, he shouldn't be. He should be calling the match down the middle. And if he steps out of line and misuses his power, then Santino should have every right as director of authority to come in and say, no, you screwed up. You misused your power. Therefore, the match continues. There should be that added element. But instead, Kazarian is somehow not only special guest referee, but he is now special guest director of authority for this match. The way it was explained made absolutely no sense in the grand schemes of doing this match and making Kazarian's involvement make sense. Again, you can do some sort of weird gotcha finish at Bound for Glory. I think that's stupid because, again, don't know if they're going to give the title to Henry. I've been going back and forth. But if they use this as an excuse not to do it, people are going to be very upset. If it's Dixie Carter, hilarious.
I read that and the air I let out, I'm so glad I was muted. I mean, I can. The only way I could.
I would take that.
That's not funny. That's not funny. The only way I could see it is he's power tripping and he's ego inflated. You maybe sent an email. Someone's like, oh, this guy sent me 100 emails. Go away. And you're taking special guest referee to be too much power. And he's just an idiot, which Frankie Kazarian has proven to be in this iteration, an idiot, someone who's power tripping. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point. The only thing I could think of, like I said, is an idiot power tripping.
And then everyone beats up Kazarian.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he had it coming. He had it coming at that point.
You got four baby faces plus Santino Marella, who gets involved. They offer Santino the last punch before they put him through the table. And then he pulls out the Cobra because Kazarian spits at him. So he does the Cobra because that way it doesn't look like he's that doesn't look like he's casting the first stone. He is reacting to having been assaulted by the spit. And Kazarian, before getting beat up, says the right man will walk out as TNA champion. So, of course, leaving everything very nebulous. Who knows who's going to win? And yeah, that was the end of the night. And I just said, this sucks.
Yeah, I don't feel like that was the strongest way to go home. I mean, it was nebulous and dubious, the ending of the TNA championship. I think there's a lot going on to keep the intrigue there. I don't know. I always say I don't know because I don't want to offend anyone, so I apologize. But I'm going to stand firm on this one, so let me be a man, Maury. I feel that this was a little bit hodgepodge with Frankie Kazarian. Yeah, you're delusional. I don't like the way it's explained now that you said that. And what are we going to do with Santino if he abuses his power? Nothing?
I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm just going to keep on moving. All right. This thing.
All right. I like you guys. Please don't beat me up. I'm sorry. Don't DM me.
No one's going to beat you up for your opinion. If they do, they can talk to me about it first. Let's go down this card. I know we did it, by the way. If you go back in the video, we did this with the Bet Online odds. Cress and I are going to give you now our feelings about Bound for Glory as we go in our predictions. If you want the full rundown, ourselves and Steven Jensen will be joining us on Saturday night after the pay-per-view to run down the entire evening's events and more, along with all the scoops that you'll get from FightfulSelect.com, because I'm sure we'll have a Bound for Glory scoops thread. Cressa, you want to run this thing down?
Let's do it, Joel.
Who will win the 20-person Call Your Shot Gauntlet match?
AJ Francis. And I thought that's a wild statement for me to say, but AJ Francis.
All right, that's fair. I think it's someone who hasn't been announced yet. I think Kazarian and AJ Francis are being used as red herrings at this point, but we'll find out soon enough. Could be someone that's coming back. It could be someone that's a big surprise, or it could be Killer Kelly. That was my one dark horse appearance because she's got enough going on and there's some other movement in the Knockouts division. Josh Alexander versus Steve Maclin. Who you got?
Josh Alexander is going to cheat Steve Maclin out his boots, but I think Maclin gets an ally now. I think somebody says enough is enough and him and Eric Young. So I think he gets some allies.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I think Josh gets the win and then Maclin makes a friend afterwards. Speedball Mike Bailey versus Vikingo for the X Division Championship.
We, the viewers, are going to be winners. But Speedball Mike Bailey, like you said, in the crossover is going to put on a 5.5 star match because he's phenomenal, baby.
Yep. 5.5 star Vikingo loses to Speedball Mike Bailey. He's going to retain his title. The only reason if Vikingo wins, he's going to WWE and he's bringing the X Division Championship with him.
I mean, honestly, yeah, you know, sometimes the ends justify the means. Yeah.
Knockouts tag team titles, Spitfire versus Rosemary Wendy Chu.
Oh, Spitfire, but that's going to be a really good match. That's going to be a fantastic match.
I think it'll be a really fun match. I have a feeling if they do the Tatum Paxley thing, I don't think that's going to be tonight. I don't think that's going to be Saturday. For those who missed it on Tuesday, Tatum Paxley was moved into a box-like structure and wheeled out of the NXT arena. Feels a little weird. They haven't done much crossover between what's going on in NXT stories and what's going on in TNA. So if Tatum comes back, they'll have to explain it.
She's going to come through the door. Not many people go out back from the door. Taya went in and never came back out.
But that was just a box. She wasn't actually in the dark realm.
Yo, listen, yo. Joel, man, I'm trying to help.
It's okay. I feel like Wendy Chu and Rosemary will have a quick little spat after this. They're going to lose this match, and then Rosemary Wendy Chu will have a little bit of a feud. Jessica Havoc will come back. Rosemary will team up with Havoc again. Wendy Chu will have her thing on NXT moving forward, and that'll be that. Santana versus Moose singles match. Who you got?
It is with a heavy heart. I'm going to say Moose because I can see Moose cheating Santana out of his boots again. This is going to be a really, unfortunately for me, it's going to be a bloody match, but this is going to be a really good match. But Santana going to get cheated out of his boots. So Moose for the win, unfortunately.
I could see Moose getting the win and then maybe motivating another match between these two. Otherwise, it could be Moose versus Joe Hendry down the line again, if we're putting the title on Joe Hendry. We'll get to that in a few minutes. PCO versus Matt Cardona. It's a Monsters Ball match for the Digital Media Championship and the Canadian International Heavyweight Championship.
So when we were talking earlier, I was saying, nah, PCO's going to win. Nah, Steph DeLander. I was like, wouldn't Steph DeLander turn on Steph, PCO?
Steph just had neck surgery.
As I say, she's out. So
yeah, she's out.
PCO's retaining. Never mind. Yeah, PCO's definitely retaining. Sorry, Matthew Cardoza, like Santino would say.
I feel like they're going to go back to this match once Steph's close to being back. I think it'd be very hilarious if they just separate these two for a while and then randomly pair them up again in a match. That's when you know Stephanie's coming back.
I agree with that.
I feel like PCO is going to win. I'm just ready to get rid of that International Heavyweight Championship belt. Get rid of it. It's done. You don't put it on the line. It has no bearing. It was just for the Canadian crowd. It was part of a Montreal Federation that doesn't exist anymore. You can get rid of it, and no one will be upset about that. Whoever wins that title from PCO needs to take it and just, this is yours. I don't want it. This is garbage. Frankie Kazarian needs to win it and just, here you go.
Yeah, it's shut Frankie Kazarian up. Like, here's a title.
Give him the here's a heavyweight title you can have. It's the International Canadian Heavyweight Champion.
No way now. Nah.
Get out of here. System versus the Hardys versus ABC for the Tag Team Championships. Full Metal Mayhem. For the first time in a long time, you have to climb the ladder to win the titles.
Who's champion right now? The Hardys?
The System.
I think the Hardys win because I agree with your logic earlier about they're still traveling through North Carolina. And aren't all these tapings to donate money to the hurricane victims?
The ones that they just did in Nashville are, but I don't know about the next ones. They're in Fayetteville after Bound for Glory weekend, and then they go to WrestleCade at the end of the month, of the end of November.
Well, let's say that they are. I'm not saying that they are. I don't know. But if they are, it's a good way to get people, hey, the Hardys are home, hey, you know, and it's all going for a good cause as well. You know, I like that idea. But if that's not the case, I see the System retaining because, again, cheating.
I think the Hardys are going to win. This is the match that they revolutionized in the TLC style of match. Easy peasy, go through North Carolina, have that feel-good moment. Hardys will be over big, everyone will love it, and you'll have built up the tag team titles to whoever they drop it to next.
Easy. Exactly.
Jordynne Grace versus Masha Slamovich for the TNA Knockouts World Championship.
I am so happy I get to watch this match on Saturday. This match is going to be so good. So good. I love Jordynne Grace with everything I have. She's one of my favorite wrestlers, period. But Masha Slamovich is finally going to take this. And I'm so excited for everyone involved because this match for us, girls, this match is for us. And Masha Slamovich is going to win. This match is going to be so good. Oh, this match is going to be so good.
They've done it before. They'll do it again. I'm hoping that this match is longer than 12 minutes because that seems to be the Jordan Grace special. Nothing goes longer than 12, maybe 14 minutes. Give them a little bit more if they can, if they want, and if they have the time. And yeah, give Masha Slamovic not surprise win, but a dominant win. A surprise win would be something else. Jordan underestimates Masha. Masha hits a slew of snowplows and gets the win very quickly. That'd be a shock win, but I don't know if you want to go there because she's a babyface.
Yeah.
Well, I think
it's going to be great.
Me too. And I'd like them to have a great match that people want to talk about and not just a shock finish. Do a shock finish for another match if you really want to go there. Nick Nemeth versus Joe Hendry for the TNA World Championship. Frankie Kazarian presiding.
I don't know. I'm going to be real with you. I don't know. I want to say Joe Hendry, but that is me being 100% biased because I don't know where JBL falls in this. I could see them saying, again, do you want Joe Hendry? You want Joe Hendry? Oop, now JBL is here and he's managing Nick Nemeth, and Nick Nemeth is going to do what he needs to do to win. And I could see you maybe giving it to us all 2025. I don't think you should stretch it out. But again, I don't know if that's me being biased or me having foresight that Joe Hendry is really, really hot still. Let's do it now. People love him no matter where he goes. Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? And if you're saying, well, what if he can't be serious? Okay, there's a Santana on the horizon. Test his mettle. Have him go against Moose if that's how you feel. Make him prove his stuff. I think now is the time, but I am not a booker.
I think Nick Nemeth is going to win. I think it's going to be a big old schmoz and Nick Nemeth is going to win. And I think the JBL will get involved. I think the Kazarian will get knocked out. I think that there will be other referees taken down. It's going to be a big old WrestleMania 40 schmoz. It's going to be so overbooked. It's already overbooked. It's already overbooked. Let Nick Nemeth retain the title. People will be angry. And then you and I will sit here on Saturday night having a record crowd watching us talk about TNA and talking about Bound for Glory, which we will be here after the show on Saturday night. It'll be Cresta, myself, and Steven Jensen breaking down the whole show, maybe having a few yuck-yucks because that's what we do, while Jensen maybe loses his mind because he's not so used to what we do. But Cresta, what else you got going on this week? Because you ain't got Collision.
That for sure I do not, guys. Thank you so much for pulling up. It's been fantastic. You can find me every Thursday and Saturday here on Fightful. Like Joel said, this Saturday I'll be doing the post show for Bound for Glory. Every Wednesday you can find me over on TikTok and Twitch, Cresta Star, Twitter Cresta the Star. Follow me on Blue Sky. It's my pinned tweet on Twitter. Again, Cresta the Star. Besides that, I'm trying to do stuff in wrestling, so holler at me, you know? And Joel, what you got going on?
Not much. I'm just going to go home, take a nap, be done for the rest of the week, you know? That's it. Be fun, yeah. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with Jeremy Lambert. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. Go to FightfulOverbooked.com. We have content dropping there all the time. And every single time we do In the Weeds, listen, if an MLW star resigns with the company, we're probably going to interview them because that seems to be our going rate. If you see a FIFA Select post that says so-and-so resigns with MLW, guess what? They're probably going to be on our show that day. So go ahead, follow us. If nothing else, we've got good banter and Jeremy wears a dental dam sometimes and eats Reese's peanut butter cups. Selling point? Who knows? Either way, back on Saturday. For Cresta Star, I am Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
If only we had some way of getting the odds of how this show might go.
Joel, you're not going to believe this.
Oh my God.
But BetOnline.ag, who we told you about earlier in the show, has your Bound for Glory betting odds up right now. You can go place your bets. Huge partner of ours. They've been wonderful to us. They're one of the few places where, yes, you can bet on wrestling, which is so cool. They've got AEW, WWE covered, and of course, TNA, Bound for Glory. They also have stuff for just like John Cena's last run and Hall of Fame induction, I think, like who's gonna induct him and things like that. So they've got some fun prop bets in addition to the cards, but we're gonna run down this and we're gonna let Joel and Cresta weigh in on who they think should win and how heavily favorited these odds are, if that's a fair shake. But for the Monsters Ball match, we've got Matt Cardona at a minus 400, PCO at a plus 250. Do you guys feel like that's about right?
No.
Yeah. No.
Negative means they're the favorite.
Yeah.
Minus 400 means they're favorited, yeah.
Oh, no.
How is Cardona?
Because Cardona could cheat. Because it's Cardona.
No, it's because it's Cardona. People don't know.
If you want an underdog bet, PCO. Right?
Yeah, there's your underdog bet, PCO. We might be having more of these. Let's find out.
PCO
has never lost a Monsters Ball match in TNA, and the only one he's ever lost was when he lost the Black Label Pro Heavyweight Championship to Calvin Tankman, and that was a four-way Monsters Ball match.
That was before my TNA time. And also, Kate, I can approve what you did. Instead of PCO.
That is fantastic. I love that. For the Steve Maclin and Josh Alexander match, Steve Maclin with a minus 220, Josh Alexander with a plus 165. So Maclin favorited here, but not too heavily. What do you guys think?
After tonight, I think Alexander gets the win, but he cheats because that's how he beat Jonathan Gresham in the match. He cheated to win tonight.
Basically, I agree.
Going through the whole show at this point, so let's go.
Do you think the referee will use his Jonathan discretion in the match?
If it's Daniel Spencer, he won't know what the hell he's doing. Shout out Daniel Spencer, referee to the Distracted Stars.
Jordan Grace, an overwhelming favorite here at a negative 1,500 with Masha Slamovich at a plus 600. If there's a shot in hell that Masha Slamovich might win this, you could make some real money, but is that a possibility?
Yes,
definitely going to win this.
Please put all your money on Masha.
Put your money on Masha. Masha is definitely going to win this. Like, hey, who's booking these bets?
This is great. We haven't had underdog picks in a long time. I think maybe the misguiding of the TNA product could make you some big money.
You don't watch TNA. We can tell that's how you book this.
They're just picking who's the bigger star. Who's the bigger star?
It does feel that way. It does feel that way. But your TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championship, Jody Threat and Danny Luna with a minus 350, Rosemary and Wendy Chu at a plus 225. Your guys' thoughts?
Yes, that is accurate because you need to have the tag titles on Spitfire until mm-hmm. Reckless Elegance wins and then Havoc and Rosemary get it back.
I hate that Joel's right, but Joel, the old man up north, he's on to something. He's right.
We'll move on to Moose versus Mike Santana. A minus 200 on Moose, plus 150 on Santana. So not an overwhelming favorite, but a slight edge for Moose in this.
Moose finna cheat, because that's all the system does. But Santana is going to beat the brakes off of Moose. We're going to win as fans, but Moose is not getting out of that unscathed. I could see Moose winning that.
I think that's right. And I think it turns into either a dog collar match or some sort of chain match.
Yeah.
One of the shows coming up, maybe at WrestleCade.
Your world championship match. By the way, I saw Mike Santana live at Excite Wrestling where I do commentary, and he had some of the gnarliest chops I've ever heard.
Jesus, special boy.
Headset on, obviously, for commentary, and it was like, they're pretty heavy duty. They drown out the crowd pretty well, and I could still hear those chops so loud. My goodness. But Joe Hendry at a minus 1,000 to Nick Nemeth at a plus 550. What you guys think?
I don't know, man.
This one's a toss-up. Okay.
This one is a toss-up because, like Kristen and I will talk about later in our post-show, there are so many things at play, from JBL to the stupid guitar. I wasn't kidding. They're doing a concert the next night at the tapings, and it feels a little weird if you're going to make it televised to have the winners of your main events do a happy song, sing-song event. It's weird.
Sure.
And then there's other stuff at play. Obviously, the Frankie Kazarian stuff, Call Your Shot Gauntlet winner, whether that's going to be Kazarian or somebody else. Like, there are certain things at play. Who's going to win the Maclin and Alexander contest? That's also probably going to play a role in reading the tea leaves as to who goes after the world champion next, because you got a babyface and you got a heel. So you got to figure out which main event is going to be the main eventer.
I will also say this. I think that at some point you have to put the belt on Joe Hendry because he's so over. Strike while the iron is hot. But the story they're telling does not indicate that. The story they're telling is like, you want it? You So I hope, I really hope we get Hendry, but I could see some stunt show shenanigans of the Josh Alexander Kazarian kind too. So sure. I don't know. I don't know.
A lot of stuff dovetailing on this pay-per-view, and that's one that you can win some money and not throw a ton down. Like, that's not as much as that Jordan Grace one, but take what you can get on this card. But your TNA World Tag Team Championship three-way, the Hardys at a minus 1,000, the System at a plus 700, and ABC also at a plus 700. Are the Hardys winning TNA Gold again?
Yep. But we said this on the True Heel Heat. I swear to God, I can speak on the Bound for Glory prediction show. They're doing a full North Carolina run all the way to WrestleCade. That's the next big event. So yeah, you want a big Hardy love fest for the next month that starts in Detroit.
I wasn't even thinking of it that way. I'm thinking of it more like the Hardys are very over right now. The System, I think there's a lot at play with them going on. The tag titles aren't needed for them, but whoever does beat the Hardys, oh, you're going to be an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, you're automatically a bad guy. So you wouldn't want someone like ABC who you're trying to build towards a baby face. And the System, like I said, they got a lot going on right now. So I think they do hold it to WrestleCade as well.
And finally, your TNA X Division Championship, Mike Bailey at a minus 700 to retain with Vikingo at a plus 400. That seems pretty right to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yep, works for me. Speedball is an X Division champion that has 5.5 star matches and everybody loves it. So it'll be one of those matches.
I will say this. Something I learned from Joel Pearl is that what do luchadors do on TNA? Loose. So next question.
True. Excellent. It's true. Whenever a luchador comes to TNA wrestling, they're there to lose. Except for that one time Laredo Kid won the Digital Media Championship.
Fair.
That was a means to an end, though. That was just to give AJ the championship.
That's similar to Ring of Honor. Similar to Ring of Honor. Luchadors lose over here too.
Unless their names are hologram, but that's not Ring of Honor.
Well, right? He's not. Yeah, he's not. He's
not. Give it time. Yeah. Give it time. Yeah. Give it a few weeks.
Hologram's feet also don't touch the ground. You ever see his feet touch the ground? I've never seen it.
Ring of Hologram. Just you wait.
So what I've learned, go bet on Masha Slamovich because you're going to win some money. That's what I learned. Yeah. But we are going to throw it over to Joel and Cressa. They're going to tell you all about this go-home episode and what to look for leading into Bound for Glory. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thanks for the super chats tonight. We got a lot of them because I went off. But we'll catch you guys next week.
You trying to say Angertainment gets money?
Yep.
Listen, yep. It's authentic Angertainment. Okay, that was not manufactured. There was not a manufactured moment in that very long rant. So, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
Later, guys.
Ohio football fans, picture this: you bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.